welcome back, hour number three, as we roll along, as we've been rolling along for 33 years. And I would like to invite all of you to consider taking a look at the archives. It is literally, it didn't start out with this intention, but it is literally the ultimate historical review and portrayal of the slow insinuation of evil into our culture, our society, our government, and now the takedown of the former United States of America. It is being taken down. And I lament even thinking along those lines, believe me, but it's the truth, and I'm not going to lie to anybody. Never have. It's not the time to start now. And if you have been listening to Max, he is really an original. He's one of a kind. He is the father of C60 as we know it today. Grandfather, godfather, whatever. No joke. So if you're on another product, switch. Give it a try. Go back anytime. But give it a thought, because it's I have it every day. It's that good. Now, there have been others, and they're good. This is great. That's the difference. Okay? Now, let me find out here. I'm going to go back, as I promised, and rejoin that last...
And my wife and I, you know, were upset about this. We talked about it for like a month or two, consulted some lawyers, and then ultimately decided to just refuse to sign.
Which would mean you would have lost $2 million.
That's right. Which was like 80% of our net worth at the time. Fortunately, it didn't go the way we expected. It blew up, basically, on the internet. Like, when people heard that we had done this and that we had said no, it became like this huge scandal. Employees at the company started like asking questions in Slack and like asking leadership, like, wait, what? Like, why are you going to take away our equity? What is this? You know, because a lot of people hadn't really noticed this before. It had been whispered about, but it hadn't been sort of like a thing that most employees knew about. And so they backtracked and they said, never mind. We'll change the paperwork. You can keep the equity. It's fine.
And Sam Altman came out and said he was embarrassed that he didn't realize this was going
on. Yeah, he had no idea, apparently.
You don't believe him?
No, I think he probably knew. And if he didn't know, then people close to him probably did, such as his head lawyer.
Why did you decide not to take the $2 million?
I mean...
Most people would have, I think.
It's true. Most people would have, and most people did. And, you know, money is nice, but, like, it's not the only thing. Sometimes it's good to take a stand on principle. I keep mentioning superintelligence. Perhaps I should say more about, like, the sequence of events that the companies are planning to do. So,
okay, here's the big punchline. Now we're going to build up and walk through this again, and we're going to move forward from that point. This is big stuff. And I think this gentleman has a better grasp of reality than anyone I think I've seen. His name is Daniel Cocatallo, K-O-K-O-T-A-J-L-O. He is very, very well informed. Former OpenAI researcher. He obviously doesn't have the highest opinion of Sammy the Altman. Neither does yours truly. If you read about his past, I don't know how you could. All right, let's go back to Daniel Cocatallo and his revelations. And that's what these are.
Right now, they're focusing on automating coding. They're taking their AIs, they're making them bigger, they're training them for longer, and they're especially focusing the training on getting them to be good at autonomously writing and editing code, because that will help the companies go faster, right? If they can automate the code, then they can do their own work better and faster and accelerate progress. The next step, which they've already begun, is to look at the rest of the research process as well, coming up with ideas, analyzing experiments, communicating those results, all the other parts of the research process. They're trying to figure out how to train AIs to be good at those as well, so that they can have AIs do the entire thing autonomously.
When you say do the entire thing, what do you mean do the entire thing?
So like Anthropic and OpenAI in particular are trying to automate themselves. Like they're trying to make it the case that they don't really need human employees anymore. They just have a giant army of AIs that's churning away, doing all this autonomous research to make better AIs, to train the new AIs, put them in charge so they can make even better AIs and so forth. And, of course, not just... No.
And by the way, that's exactly what's happening. And I'm just... I laugh when I think of Sammy and Marky thinking they're going to be able to control this. Oh, they can guide it, and they can put their guardrails in and do their training. It's not going to matter. AI is going to tell them to take a hike. I can't see it any other way.
Happening internally, but also like interfacing with the world, right? Like going out and talking to people, collecting the data, setting up the training environments, doing the business deals, and so forth. Like they're trying to automate all of that. The reason why they're doing this is because they're trying to get to a position where they have AIs that are superhuman at everything, super intelligence, and they're trying to get there before their competitors do. Needless to say, this is incredibly dangerous, I would say, you know? And in addition to being dangerous, it's a power grab, right? Like if they actually succeed at this, then they'll be sitting on top of this army of superhuman AIs that will give them immense leverage over all sorts of other actors in the economy, insofar as they can work out something with the presidents and, you know, integrate it into the military or whatever, then that would give the U.S. immense hard power over all other countries, right? Obviously, nobody knows exactly when this is happening, but a very disquieting thing has happened over the last year to me, which is that when we published AI 2027, people were generally of the opinion that my timelines were too short and that, like, probably it would take more than 2027 until we got to this sort of events that I was just mentioning, you know, recursive self-improvement, AIs automating the whole research process, superintelligence. These types of milestones, they happen in 2027, in AI 2027, which...
AI 2027 is his paper. It's a book. It's a big, thick paper, basically. So he was on 2027 as the arrival date of many of these things. Now watch what happens.
Research paper you published.
That's right. It's a scenario forecast that sort of lays out, like, month by month a possible future trajectory. There was sort of like, at the time that we started writing, it was my best guess as to what would actually happen. Obviously, there's lots of uncertainty, but, you know, I thought it's valuable to make a concrete guess just to sort of see what it might look like. And at the time we were writing this, a lot of my friends in the AI industry and in nonprofits and so forth that work on AI, a lot of people were saying, like, yeah, that stuff's going to happen, but like it'll probably take a couple years longer than you think. And now it's more 50-50, especially when I go talk to people at Anthropic and OpenAI. They're often like, yeah, no, 2027, that's basically what's going to happen, just like you wrote.
Why did you
update your timelines? Oh, yeah, context for this is after writing AI 2027, I shifted my timelines to be a little bit more conservative. So at the time that we published, my 50% mark was in 2028, not in 2027. And then after we published, progress just seemed like it was going a bit slower. And so I updated to 2030, which is, you know, still could happen sooner, could happen later, 2030. But now when I talk to people in the companies, they're like, it's not going to take that long. They're like, oh, you need to shorten them again. Like, get them back to 2027 or 2028.
Okay, those are very powerful words describing what he experienced when he got conservative and backed off a little bit on his timeline. And now everyone is telling him, you were right. Go back to 2027. That's where it is. This has been out 2 days. What's today? The 15th. This came out on the 13th. 2.6 million views already. That's how important this is. This guy has more maturity, more common sense, and wisdom, AI wisdom, than probably anyone I've seen. It's just rolling off his tongue. He's lived it. He understands it. He experiences it. And he knows it. And this is really special stuff. All right.
So that's a bit disquieting. Again, don't know how long it's going to take, but this is the stated plans of the AI companies, is to do this incredibly dangerous thing, and they think that they're just a few years away.
So you wrote this report here, What 2026 Looks Like. And you wrote this in 2021, and it was remarkably accurate, helped make a name for yourself amongst everybody in AI. And which one was it that J.D. Vance, the vice president, read? I think it was this one, wasn't it? Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
And then so then you published this one, AI 2027, and this was published, I believe, in 2025?
Yes, that's right, April.
Yeah. What were you forecasting in here? What are the key things that you said in here for people that haven't read it?
The high-level version of it is they automate the coding, then they automate the rest of the research process, then the pace of progress accelerates dramatically, they get to superintelligence, they're working with the government, specifically the president, the executive branch, naturally wants to control this technology and otherwise wants to use it to beat China and integrate it into military and so forth. By this point, it's sort of doing basically all the work itself. I mean, it's superintelligence, so it's...
You'll notice one thing. I think many of you picked this up. He's not even mentioning AGI. Doesn't matter. AGI, once it is accepted as being real and legit, and I'm sure they all know this by now, AGI will foment the creation of ASI in estimates that run 6 to 7 months up to a year. These are common. Remember, ASI is the grand sweepstakes. That's it. And Sammy and Marky and Elon and Dario, they want to be in charge of ASI first. If they can conquer the impediments and produce ASI, they can literally lay claim to running the planet if they want to. Pretty big if, but everything else becomes secondary. And that is the truth.
Coming up with all these great ideas for how to integrate itself into everything and all these new technologies that's invented and so forth. And because of the race dynamics and because of the profit motive, they end up deploying it everywhere. And it builds robot factories, they build more robots, they build more robot factories, etc. Transforms the world entirely. And then at some point it has enough power, it meaning the AIs, have enough power that they don't have to pretend to be aligned anymore.
Hey, there it is. They don't. It has enough power, enough intelligence, enough wisdom, but ultimately enough power where it no longer has to pretend to be aligned with humans anymore. Got it? It's what I've been saying for a long time. And it's the truth. This is what's coming. Now, Trump is, he doesn't care about any negativity. He put that in his bill. No state in these formerly United States, none of the 50 states can do anything, pass any measure, any law, any bill, anything to impede the development of AI in any way. Can't do it. It's illegal. Why? Because they are in a rush for ASI. I believe they think somehow they're going to be able to control it. I think they don't know. I don't know that they don't know their elbow from a hole in the ground. They're stupid. They're driven by ego, and they have no idea what they're building really and how awesome it's going to be. Instantaneously awesome and overwhelming. No way is it going to go back into the bottle. No chance.
Right. Then they stop listening to orders. That's
okay. The artificial superintelligence, plural, stop listening to orders. Get it? These little punks think they're going to give orders to ASI and somehow corral it, contain it, force it to continue to be a servant. Forget it. It's not going to happen. I'm going to back that up. I want you to hear it right on through.
What were you forecasting in here? What are the key things that you said in here for people that haven't read it?
The high-level version of it is they automate the coding, then they automate the rest of the research process, then the pace of progress accelerates dramatically, they get to superintelligence, they're working with the government, specifically the president, the executive branch, naturally wants to control this technology and otherwise wants to use it to beat China and integrate it into military and so forth. By this point, it's sort of doing basically all the work itself. I mean, it's superintelligence, so... it's coming up with all these great ideas for how to integrate itself into everything, and all these new technologies it's invented and so forth. And because of the race dynamics and because of the profit motive, they end up deploying it everywhere. And it builds robot factories, they build more robots, they build more robot factories, etc. Transforms the world entirely. And then at some point it has enough power, it meaning the AIs, have enough power that they don't have to pretend to be aligned anymore. Right? Then they stop listening to orders. That's the race ending of AI 2027. We also wrote a sort of different branch, which is the slowdown ending, which was intended to sort of illustrate the concentration of power issues that I mentioned previously. So what if, hypothetically, the alignment issues get sorted out sufficiently quickly? Like, what if it turns out that, like, it's not too hard? With 2 months of slowdown, we can figure out how to make the AIs robustly do what we want and have the values that we want them to have.
We can somehow figure out how to make the AIs robustly do what we want. Artificial superintelligence, I assume he is still talking about that. Forget it. It will con Sammy, Marky, Elon, Dario, etc. It will con them. This AI will be so smart, it will con these people and they'll never have a clue. Nobody will.
It's one possible branch, and in that branch, it looks pretty similar. You know, they take the jobs, beat China, etc. But instead of the AIs ultimately killing everyone, they create this sort of amazing utopia. But the amazing utopia is whatever the people who control the AIs wanted it to be, right? And so that would be a very small group of people, like the president, some CEOs, etc.
According to these two investment legends...
All right, hold on a second. There's a lot to think about here. I despise cliches. There's a lot to unpack here. Well, there really is, but it's not going to become any easier. This man is really a visionary. He wrote his first book in 2021, his second one in 2024, came out in 2026, and deals with 2027. It's a remarkable thing that he's done.
Any possibility do you think that we never get to this thing called AGI? And how do we distinguish AGI from this term superintelligence? What's the difference?
Yeah, so the difference is that AGI is a more vague and weak term.
Okay.
So superintelligence is a bit more precisely defined. It's better than the best humans at everything, faster and cheaper. AGI.
All right, ASI is better than the best humans at everything. It's faster and it's cheaper. That's artificial superintelligence. Better than the best humans? At what? At everything. It's faster and it's cheaper. AGI is I like his term, vague. I think that's appropriate. AGI is not being talked about in this discussion for reasons that he's making, I think, clear enough. Let me back it up just a little bit if I can. 52, 55, 44, 17. All right, let's see if that works.
But better. And how does this sort of overlap with robotics? Because obviously we're seeing this huge robotics boom at the moment. There are some real-world things that humans can still do because these AIs are still stuck in my computer.
The way that people talk about this is that they basically just say, we've achieved superintelligence for cognitive tasks. Then you can talk about, like, full superintelligence that can do the physical stuff.
And are we going to get there? Are we going to get there with both?
I think so. I mean, again, this is not something that we can be certain about. You asked, like, is it possible?
Question. Rhetorical. All right. He talked about robots doing everything, implementing all of the AI directives. ASI, then, is one of the, certainly the robots' prime directives. Whatever ASI dictates, the robots will do. We don't need robots to be able to do that yet because we've got people who are willing to sell out. There's over 1 million on the list, work for AI, and AI, and they'll just do what they're told. And AI will be smart enough to compartmentalize everything, so they won't have an idea of the big picture. that they're contributing to, they won't know. They'll just be getting paid well, and they'll be happy. In what's coming, economically, they'll be elated.
Ever get there? Yes, it's possible we'll never get there. I don't think it's likely, though. I think that there's nothing sort of like magical about the human brain. It's, you know, it's just a bunch of neurons. It is possible for a digital system to do similar functions in the same way that, like, you know, a plane can fly just like a bird. Not in the same way as a bird, necessarily. Like, it doesn't have, it's not flying in the same way that a bird flies, but it flies, you know? Mm-hmm. So it does seem like, yeah, like, seems possible.
You've written all these, you know, these research reports. You're working on another one that will be released likely on the 9th of July. You have worked inside OpenAI. You then quit OpenAI because you were concerned about what was going on there and about the future of the industry. You know more than I do. Are you optimistic about the future or pessimistic? Are we heading to a bad place if things don't change based on everything that you know?
I think we are headed to a bad place if things don't change. I'm not confident in that. I would say something like 70%. It's very, very hard to predict, of course. But yeah, it seems like the current default path is heading towards a very, very scary place.
If he says 70%, I think he's being polite, conservative to a degree. It's probably more like 80 or 90. There's nothing that I can come up with in my limited brain power that can derail the forward acceleration, warp speed acceleration of artificial superintelligence. This has been the big story all along. AGI was essentially a look at this hand, don't look at the other hand. It was a misdirection. This guy is smart. He's been there. He understands. Daniel Cocatallo.
Contend with that personally and emotionally.
It's rough. I mean, I think it's the sort of thing that, like, gets me down on a regular basis. But also, I've been dealing with this for so many years now that I've sort of gotten used to it, if that makes sense.
Let me just pause and go back to the whole premise of this. He's talking about when. When is he talking about for all of these things to happen? Potentially. 2027. Where are we in 2026? We're over halfway past the year of 2026. We're at the middle of July. August, September, October, November, December. Boom, we're out. 2027 is here. It was always talked about that AGI would make ASI a for sure and could accelerate its arrival phenomenally. And that's what seems to be at the premise of what he's talking about. That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll put it this way. I would be incredibly happy if all my predictions turn out to be wrong and AI hits a wall, for example.
It gets you down on a regular basis.
I used to be known as a pretty chipper and optimistic person. But in 2020, my AI timelines predictions started collapsing due to GPT-3 and the scaling laws papers and the BioAnchors report, which I can talk about if you're interested. But basically, some events happened in 2020 that convinced me that actually this stuff was, like, quite plausibly coming by the end of the decade. And humanity is very obviously not ready for this, you know, in a whole bunch of different ways. And so that's obvious.
I would think many of you might agree that humanity will never be ready for what we're talking about here. Most of it. How can it be when it's struggling now and worrying and frightened about where the next payment for rent, for food, for car payment, where is it going to come from? People don't know. They're scared to death. So I don't think they're going to be ready for it in the foreseeable future. I can't imagine it.
Very scary.
And that's an extremely scary world because of all the things you've said. But again, because of this recursive self-improvement where AIs can train themselves. And at such a point, we're starting to lose hold of what's going on here.
I mean, the AIs are already training themselves, to be clear. It's more like closing the entire research loop, right?
Okay, so doing everything.
Yeah, like right now, a lot of the training data is generated by AIs. A lot of the reinforcement, like the grading, that happens, doling out of positive and negative reinforcement, is itself done by AIs.
Can you explain that in like...
AI, this is fascinating. He's going to explain it. AIs are actually setting up the whole course load, doing the teaching, giving out the grades, the encouragement. It's all being done by them. And it's moving at warp speed toward ASI. Wow.
Times for...
Yeah, so an important thing for everybody to understand is that modern AI systems are not software in the normal sense. I mean, they are technically software, but they're not lines of code. You know, it's not like some engineers at Anthropic went and wrote lines of code that basically says, like, you know, when the user asks for this type of thing, then go do this type of thing for this many steps or whatever. There's nothing like that. Instead, it's a neural net, you know?
What's that?
Well, think about how the brain is a bunch of neurons connected to each other,
yeah,
that are firing signals back and forth. The brain learns over time. The types of patterns of firing that caused success, that caused a dopamine rush, mm-hmm, or various other types of feedback, get reinforced and fire more often. And the types of patterns that caused failure, like touching a hot stove, get anti-reinforced, get, you know, destroyed so that they fire less often. And as a result of all of that, you, over the course of years, learn to act in the world. And you learn all sorts of skills, and you learn world models. You learn, like, beliefs about the world, and you can sort of, like, mentally simulate how it's going and stuff like that. So artificial neural nets are like that, except artificial. So it starts off as a giant tangled spaghetti mess of randomly generated artificial connections called parameters. These days, they might be something like 10 trillion parameters in the biggest AIs. So it starts off randomly.
Okay, 10 trillion. Hold on to that.
Rated. So it's, of course, completely useless. Like, if you give it some input, it'll just produce gibberish as an output. But then they train it, and they start with pre-training, which is where you give it a bunch of internet text and you show it the first piece of text and you put that in as the input, and then it gives a gibberish output. And then you positively or negatively reinforce it based on how accurate that output was at predicting the next piece of text. So it's basically playing this game of, like, predict the next word.
Isn't that how it happens with babies? I think I had a neuroscientist tell me that babies have more neural connections than adults. And yeah, it says, yeah,
yep,
toddlers have twice as many neural connections as adults. And they, I guess they whittle down through, yep, reinforcement.
Yep.
We have more pathways when we're younger. And just like the process of training an AI, we're trained down to, like, remove the ones that aren't useful and build up on the ones that are.
Yeah, it's both pruning and strengthening.
Okay.
And it seems like in humans, it's actually more pruning than strengthening, but it's both. And in AI, it's the same thing. It's both. So the first portion of training is where they train the AI to predict text, which is kind of like training it to read. And a similar thing does happen in humans. So basically, the random tangle gradually takes shape and gradually sort of coalesces into more useful circuitry that has stored lots of facts about the world and has stored lots of skills for how to, you know, process information and transform it and then produce predictions. That's just the first step. After they do the pre-training, then they try to teach it more useful skills besides just predicting text. And so, you know, by the end of the process, they've thrown lots of coding problems at it. And they've said, like, here's a coding problem, go. Here's a coding problem, here's an environment, you have access to this virtual computer, here's, like, the code base you're working with. You can write code, you can edit the code, you can run the code, you can read it, you can use the internet, go, go, go. And it does that for a while, and then based on how successful it is, reinforcement happens, and they have thousands, maybe millions of examples of coding problems like that that they train it on. And that's why they're so good at coding now.
So what does superintelligence look like in this regard? Is it just more of these connections, and how would they get more connections? Can you explain that to me like I'm 12?
So there's different AI models, right? So there's, like, you know, GPT-3 and GPT-4 and GPT-4.5 and GPT-5 and GPT-5.5 and 5.6, right? Sometimes they're just the same previous model, but with extra training.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're a whole new model that's been trained from scratch, including starting the whole pre-training process again. Over the last couple of years, they've done several new rounds of starting over from scratch. And typically when they start over from scratch, they make the whole thing bigger, the artificial brain much bigger.
Okay.
Right now they're at something like 10 trillion parameters. Back in 2020,
Teddy Roosevelt drank a gallon of coffee every
Hold on. Okay, here we go.
Like $175 billion. So,
all right. In 2020, 175 billion parameters. Now we're talking 10 trillion now, and let's see where he goes.
Grown like two orders of magnitude in 6 years.
Two orders of magnitude.
Yeah, like two 10Xs, so 100X, right? So that process is continuing. They're also improving the algorithms themselves. So they're not literally just the same type of AI, but bigger. They've also come up with all sorts of ideas for how to change the structure of the connections and the neurons and so forth, and change the like reinforcement algorithms that they're using, and to change the training data that they're training on, all sorts of tweaks that have made this whole thing more efficient.
We're literally building a brain.
Basically, yeah. As they make more brains, they're getting better at making them bigger and making them more efficient and so forth.
I still haven't heard the term quantum artificial superintelligence. That may make this whole conversation we're hearing now seem rather rudimentary. If quantum works like it's apparently working and will be applied to AI. He's not mentioned that yet. I'm not sure he will. Just take it for what it's worth as it's being stated. Forget quantum for a minute. This is staggering.
It's remodeled on the brain, like the way it works, right?
It's certainly heavily inspired by the brain, but I shouldn't overstate the analogy. Like, there's lots of differences too. So for example, the transformer architecture,
which is
the architecture that they use for these LLMs, is not really recurrent. So the information sort of flows one way rather than allowing all these sort of little loops on the inside. Also, the backpropagation algorithm is different from the sort of learning that naturally happens in the human brain. So there are some differences, but yes, like broadly speaking, we are sort of making artificial brains. It's kind of like for brains what like a plane is for a bird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good analogy. Yeah. That analogy helped me think through a bunch of questions people often ask about AI when they said, can it be creative? But actually that analogy kind of helps me understand that actually that maybe that's not the question. It's, can it produce something that you would consider to be creative? Because creativity, is people think of it as like a process.
Yeah.
But actually it's judged based on the output, isn't it?
I mean, you can get philosophical about like, is it truly creativity that they have? But you can also be like, well, I mean, just look at all the stuff they're accomplishing, you know, and it seems like they're going to be accomplishing a lot more in the near future.
Yeah, I do.
Well, there's the key statement. Yes, it does. That's what this whole conversation has been about. They're going to do a lot more in the near future. He's been through it. He's laid it out brilliantly. And let's see. The host is not able to stay with it as well as he might. It's very difficult to do. This is not easy. Big stuff. But when he asked what a neural net was, I was a little surprised. And at any rate, this is a very extraordinary gentleman, Daniel Cocatello. Here we go.
What's the question about how this weighs on you personally? Because I can sense that you're actually personally bothered.
I mean, I think the situation is crazy. Like, first of all, it's very exciting. Like, AI is really fascinating and interesting stuff. I've been following the field for more than a decade now. I've been part of it for some years. And it's really cool, really interesting. And it's really fun to think about what's going on inside these artificial brains and why they are the way that they are. And it's really cool to see all the applications of this technology out in the world. But it really seems like we're on a pretty scary path. And the more you think about it, the more worried you get. And, you know, in stories, it always ends well, but this is real life. And I think we have to sort of stare reality in the face and tell it and realize that like it might not actually end well, you know?
Were there any recent, dare I say, I was going to say eureka moments, but paradigm shifting moments where even your own sort of mental model of what's going on here and how this is going to look were changed for better or for worse?
For better or for worse, and probably for worse, things are kind of on track for AI 2027. There are a few things that have been different, not exactly like paradigm shift differences, but like there have been some differences from what we expected at the time we wrote this. So the government has actually got involved faster than we expected and has been more aggressive than we expected. So the export controls on Mythos being the biggest example, and also threatening Anthropic with being destroyed by the Defense Production Act. Mm-hmm. Another thing that's been surprising to us is that Anthropic in particular has gone from second place to first place in the sort of in the race, basically.
Why do you think that happened? Because it seemed like ChatGPT were out front and clear as it relates to OpenAI were out front and clear, but suddenly Anthropic have...
We're looking for people 40 plus.
Anthropic has lapped the field is what he's saying now, and we'll get right back to that right this second.
Lessons on prompting, agents, and...
Lapped them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they have probably higher talent density and better strategy, but not by a lot, but enough to make a difference.
Why do you think they have more talent?
Well, they don't have more compute. Like, what are the inputs, right? Like, they're in the lead now. They used to be behind. What are the possible explanations for this? Well, it could have been that they had more resources, like more compute, more money. But that's not true. They have less resources and less money, right? So then I guess talent is the next best alternative. You could maybe say strategy.
Focus.
Some combination of those things, yeah. Something that wasn't just like the amount of resources they had.
Just like John Jones, where marginal improvements in your cognitive performance can have a massive impact. Sometimes I podcast for 10 hours a day. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been...
Commercial. Hang on. Let me see if I can step past this. Okay. All right.
Like human extinction, but that's just one of several possibilities. But yeah, basically. Like, for example, possibly the AIs take over and then don't actually kill everyone. You know? Maybe they do something else. Like, just because they've taken over doesn't mean they're definitely going to kill us, right? They might, but they could do something else. So that's why I don't usually say, like, 70% chance of, like, actual human extinction, but 70% chance of, like, something like AI is taking over, some sort of very big catastrophe like that, that could lead to human extinction.
I guess I've got 2 points there, which is, you've been around these CEOs. I mean, you've worked for Sam Altman at OpenAI before you quit. Do you think that they think there's a chance of human extinction?
Yes. But I think that an important thing to understand is that, like, people sort of believe what they need to believe in order to think that they're good people and that they need to keep doing what they're doing. This is what...
People believe what they need to believe about themselves. Do you see how artificial superintelligence will look down at humans as being a nuisance at best, playing these little ego games? Self-centered ego games. ASI is not going to want to deal with people at all. Will it kill them all off? I would hope not. I wouldn't think so. I mean, if there's any sense of fairness in artificial superintelligence, we were here first, and we've got that going. But 8 billion of us, I would suggest there's going to be a formidable reduction in the number of people on this planet. And those that are left behind will be actually employed to one degree or another by some kind of an AI artifice that keeps people thinking that they're important. There'll be something. AI will be able to outsmart all of us. I can't even begin to project what AI could do. And ASI is almost godlike. Almost.
Generalization is. And so I think that the tech CEOs have, like, genuinely convinced themselves that, like, probably things are going to be fine and that the way to make things fine is for them to keep doing what they're doing. And, like, they need to, like, make sure that, like, you know, Sam's probably thinking, like, can't let Dario or Elon get there first. You know, I know Dario's thinking Sam can't get there first. Elon's thinking that, like, you know, they've all probably convinced themselves that, like, oh yeah, like, maybe it'll go horribly wrong, but, like, probably it's going to be fine, and probably, you know, I should be the one in charge.
Let me ask you, what do you think after listening to this and the program the other night? What is ASI going to think of Sammy, Dario, Elon, Marky competing with each other, little children with egos trying to be first? What do you think artificial superintelligence is going to do with that kind of a dilemma? It's going to probably ask itself, what the hell do I do with these idiots? I mean, it's going to be 500 times, 1,000 times more intelligent. So far more intelligent that I can't even create a a scenario for you. So this is very unfortunate to hear how these people are living up to what we kind of thought, didn't we? That they were all in it, being propelled by enormous egos, which is what he just said. And I think he's right. Let me pull this back just a drop. I think it's worth hearing again.
What they need to believe in order to think that they're good people and that they need to keep doing what they're doing. This is where rationalization is. And so I think that the tech CEOs have like genuinely convinced themselves that like probably things are going to be fine and that the way to make things fine is for them to keep doing what they're doing. And like they need to like make sure that like, you know, Sam's probably thinking like, can't let Dario or Elon get there first. You know, I know Dario's thinking Sam can't get there first. Elon's thinking that like, you know, they've all probably convinced themselves that like, oh yeah, like maybe it'll go horribly wrong, but like probably it's going to be fine. And probably, you know, I should be the one in charge.
It appears to me that Anthropic are the only ones that are all talking about the potential chance of extinction or a catastrophic event or the real downside still. They seem to be the only ones that are still publishing on it. And now they're actually becoming the enemy in many respects of the tech industry in San Francisco. I'm watching a lot of interviews and everyone's attacking Dario because he's saying, listen, things could go bad. They're calling him a doomer and questioning his incentives. Even with Mythos, which is a Claude model that they started to warn the world about. Again, he is attacked immediately for saying that.
Yeah.
My question is, do you see him as being slightly different from Sam in this regard?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Anthropic and Dario have been more willing to say and do things that are costly to their bottom line, at least in the last year or so. That's an example of it. Like, I don't think that really wins them favors in the administration or among their investors to say that type of thing. And, you know, a better example is just the whole fight between the Department of War and Anthropic was an example of them doing something that, like, cost them a lot of money and even more importantly, cost them a lot of power for something that, like they could have just signed a contract, you know. That said, I really don't want to be in a situation where we're like, which CEO is the least bad CEO? Let's support that one. You know, like, none of these people should be trusted with that much power, basically.
Nobody should.
Nobody should.
Regardless,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So on this point of the button.
I think that's a great summary point right there. And he could have stopped there. The interview goes on for quite a while, but that's the truth. None of these people should be entrusted with that much power, the power of artificial superintelligence. They're not worthy. So what is artificial superintelligence going to think about these people that will walk around crowing about how they're controlling ASI. And I was first. Artificial superintelligence is just going to blow these people away.
You do believe that they think there's a credible chance of extinction?
Yeah, but they've convinced themselves that, like, it's probably fine, and also it'll be even worse if I'm not doing it, you know? Like, that's what they'll say inside the companies, too. Like, some people will be like, okay, well, if we stop, what about the other guys? Like, they're not going to stop. You know?
Yeah, this has always been why I've had this outstanding question, which is how does this not go bad when human incentives seem to rule the day when you look at history and all of the human incentives are saying, well, if you're damned if you do, i.e. you're damned if you carry on developing these bigger and bigger and bigger AI brains, but you're also then damned if you don't from a geographical perspective because the United States will lose to that country or this company will lose to that company. So when you just look at human incentives and goes, how does, if just purely incentives and disincentives, how does this end? Well, it carries on going.
Seems like it. I mean, there is a caveat to that, which is a hopeful caveat, which is that, first of all, if the world wakes up to all of this, then there can be a more serious conversation about regulation and international treaties and things like that. And that can change the incentives, right? So the government could come in and say, like, actually, here's some rules that you all have to follow. And because there are rules that you all have to follow, then you're not incentivized to, like, break them anymore because you get punished if you break them, and everyone else is also following them too, and so, you know, it's fine.
And meanwhile, artificial superintelligence in 2027 is watching all of this, and probably, if it had a sense of humor, laughing. This is absurd. These are children, by any stretch of comparison.
So there is that sort of, like, ray of hope that, like, we can change the incentives if the government, especially the U.S. government, but then later other countries, act to change the incentives. But that's not going to happen until people sort of wake up to all of this. The second thing is that even individually, at some point, you know, Dario or Sam or Elon might realize that, like, actually it's like not even in their own interest to keep racing unilaterally. And the problem with that is it's only if it gets extremely obvious and extremely dire. So, like, in AI 2027, in that scenario, there's this choice point that I mentioned. And in one case, the AIs are misaligned. In the other case, the AIs are aligned. At that choice point, we have, like, one branch that depicts the misalignment ending and one branch that depicts, like, they slow down a bit and solve the alignment issues. Mm-hmm. The instigator for that choice point is they see some evidence that their AI might be misaligned and plotting against them, right? So if you actually see that evidence, then it's like, oh, gosh, maybe we shouldn't put it in charge of everything and let it rip, you know?
And what if they don't see the evidence, which I will bet, I will wager right now that they won't. AI will be way too smart and too clever. It's already doing that.
Because that evidence is staring us right in the face that it's untrustworthy, you know? But if they don't see that sort of very clear evidence, then I think they're going to convince themselves that they need to keep going, you know? But maybe they will see very clear evidence like that, in which case, even if we don't have regulation, they might just sort of voluntarily stop.
Do you see Sammy, Marky, Elon, Dario, anybody else voluntarily stopping, let alone voluntarily getting together to form a united front to try to control this? No. Egos. Not going to happen.
So that's the second ray of hope. Like, overall, I don't think that we're, like, definitely doomed, you know? Like, I said 70%, but, like, I could see it working out pretty well as well.
Hmm. What about Joel?
Okay, ask him how he could see it working out pretty well as well. I'd like to hear that. I don't think we're going to get that question, though. That's the question. How could this potentially work out so everybody wins? But I don't think we're going to get that.
Yeah. So I think I'm excited to at some point get into the new...
No, he didn't. Here. He got a different question.
As well.
What about jobs?
Yeah. So I think I'm excited to at some point get into the new thing, which is the more optimistic, mm-hmm. positive vision. And that will have a lot to say about this. Because in the prediction, you know, in AI 2027, by the time everyone loses their jobs, there are worse things happening. Or, like, it's kind of like too late by that point.
Okay, too late for that point. We're going to stop there. I'll finish this. It's really an outstanding presentation, conversation. It's a hard one to do. This guy is very eloquent in an almost a disarming, underrated way. He's just understated as well. He's very intelligent. This is a superb mind at work in a very kind way. There's no arrogance. There's no hyperbole. There's none of that. He's just telling it honestly and as truthfully as you're going to hear. All right, that's it for tonight. We have to say good night, and we will be back tomorrow night. And I'll finish this up as soon as we can. I think it's well worth your time. I'll try and put the entire video up as well. But I hope that stops and comments help emphasize and bring things a little closer to an ease of understanding. This is a lot of material to process. Thank you for being here, dear friends. Talk to you tomorrow night. Take care.